Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. A stable, righteous government, combining truth with grace, has been the longing of men's hearts in every generation. This very theme is the subject of Psalm 45, which centers around a righteous king who loves righteousness and whose throne will last forever. Such predictions constitute good news. We are eager to hear A.J. Overton enlarge on this theme in today's meditation on the Psalms. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Great lyrics and many germs of songs existed from the very beginning of Israel's national history. It was during the period of fervent spiritual revival under David and Solomon, however, that the book of Psalms originated. Additions were made later during the revivals under kings Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. The period following the captivity produced the final addition. The entire book of the Psalms, however, is pervaded by the Davidic spirit. In David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the creative genius of the poet and the inspirational gift of the prophet were combined. The Psalms were intended to be used in the worship of Israel. King Hezekiah seems to have restored the Psalms to their liturgical use in the temple. Beyond this, the Spirit of God revealed the divine purpose for Israel and the nations. The very structure of Hebrew poetry finds a translation into various languages that is unique. The God of Israel thus invites all nations to join in the hymns of redemption. For behind the experiences and words of the composer, the divine spirit pointed to the one to come, the hope of Israel and the desire of nations. The 45th Psalm, which we now consider, stands unique among the Psalms in its content. It presents a royal wedding. Psalm 45, however, is not a mere secular ode, for it describes the marriage of the glorious king. All other such ceremonies, however stately and glorious they may be, become pale shadows beside the magnificence presented in this psalm. More than earthly nobility appears in its stanzas. From the earliest appearance of this most masterly composition, the zealous guardians of the Hebrew canon regarded the 55th psalm as dealing with the King Messiah. The divine character shown in Psalm 45 simply and beautifully develops the same thought given clearly in other parts of the Hebrew Scriptures, especially the prophets. A brief stanza introduces the 55th Psalm. This is followed by two main portions, the address to the bridegroom and the address to the bride. A short stanza then concludes this significant psalm. The introductory stanza declares, "My heart bursts forth with a good matter. I utter what I have composed touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." Only a psalm of unusually high and solemn import would have such a formal and announced intention as this. It is a great song that is about to be sung. The writer's personal feelings are strong. His heart is overflowing as he meditates on the theme of all themes. His pen becomes that of a fluent writer. There is no need to search for words. The composer is claiming inspiration. The exalted nature of the subject involved demands the guidance of the Spirit of God. He is to speak of the great king and his bride. The grand stanza that now follows, verses 2 through 9, contain the words addressed to the great king, the bridegroom. Thou art Pharaoh and the sons of men. Grace is poured in thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty one, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty prosperously ride on, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. Thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp. Peoples fall under thee in the heart of the king's enemies. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a righteous scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments are myrrh, and aloes, and cassia. Out of ivory palaces stringed instruments have made thee glad. King's daughters are among thine honorable women. Upon thy right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. This description of the king's beauty embraces more than his physical appearance at the wedding. His person and character stand forth in contrast to others. Thou art fairer than the sons of men. Grace is the word that describes his lips. These qualities confirm that God's blessing rests upon him. It is evident that Messiah King appears in these lines. He became the Son of Man by the incarnation, that is, the predicted virgin birth. His wisdom and unsearchable moral glory towered over the sons of men. Men wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Never, they declared, man spoke like this man. Yet, as the Son of Man, he was rejected and died the sacrificial death on behalf of mankind. He also was raised from the dead to ascend on high. As the victorious Savior, he still speaks gracious words of eternal life, giving peace, assurance, and joy to the hearts of men who will trust him. But the great King is also the Judge. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The great King is now called upon to gird on his sword and to accomplish mighty things. His energetic action is in the interest of truth, meekness, and righteousness. Many people fall under him. He who came to save now returns to judge. When final restraints drop off, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the nations band together for a climactic and final conflict, the great king as judge, the Messiah, rides forth to a waiting, repentant, and believing remnant of Israel to deal with the opposing nations. Now the Messiah king is addressed in most solemn fashion. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom, righteous. God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The Spirit of God applies these very words to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, in the book of Hebrews. The prophet Isaiah also called his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. At this point in the psalm, having extolled the great king's character and accomplishment, the marriage ode begins. The wedding garments are poetically described. Precious odors may be metaphorically stated to constitute his very garments. As the king moves to the site of the marriage, musical instruments sound forth from the ivory palace. Then the queen appears at the king's right hand, clothed in the finest gold of Ophir. While the bride has a great retinue of noble attendants, king's daughters among them, everything in this portrayal centers about the bridegroom, according to the ancient Eastern custom. The next stanza of Psalm 45, verses 10 through 15, addresses the queen, the bride. The picture describes God's relation to his people as being like that of bridegroom to bride, of husband to wife. We note some expressions from this stanza. Hearken, daughter, forget thy people and thy father's house. The royal wedding marks with clarity the new beginning. Old loyalties must not compete with the new. He is thy Lord, and worship thou him. The bride submits to her groom as both husband and king. Thus she derives new dignity, friends, and subjects. She gains by her homage. From her chamber, her procession now sets out toward the palace of the king. She comes to him in finest attire, while he awaits in full state. The concluding short stanza of Psalm 45, verses 16 and 17, closes on the high note, declaring that he who is on the throne will endure throughout all generations. He deserves to be extolled forever. In this picturesque language, we have a parable of God's love. It is the love of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, who wept over Jerusalem. He anticipates the day when Israel, redeemed and repentant, is restored to favor. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Will we respond to his love? Will we receive the divine instruction of Psalm 45? Respond to his love today. Trust him.
And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.